12 verses here, and just in Acts chapter 13, the Bible says in verse 1, "Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus." And tonight I just want to speak for a little while on the subject, some go, some stay. Some go, some stay. I'm just trying to try to bring an appropriate message for our church tonight and some of the things that we're facing here in the near future as a church, some of the things we've been through this year. I want to just kind of share some things that are on my heart, review some things that have happened this year and coming up this year, and some things that are happening in the lives of personnel in our church. And I want you to see a biblical basis for these things happening. I want you to notice here that it says in verse 1, in the church at Antioch, there. This is another verse that strengthens in verse 1 the doctrine of the local church. The doctrine of the local church. It says, and there was in the church that was at Antioch. And so there was a church at a town called Antioch. This is about 70 miles north of Jerusalem. And there was a church there. Just like it's God's will that there be a church, I believe, in every town, in every city. Many churches in the cities. And we need to have churches in different towns. And I want you to notice there were members in that local church. There were ministers in that local church. And there was ministering in that local church. Some of the members' names are given to us. Barnabas, Simeon. That was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manaen, which was brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul, who later would become Paul. Now, this is interesting because Barnabas was once a member of the church which was at Jerusalem. He was once a member of the church that was at Jerusalem. In fact, he was such a great member of the church at Jerusalem that he was called there the Son of Consolation. The Son of Consolation. He did tremendous work, tremendous discipleship work. He was the one who personally discipled Saul, who would be called Paul. We talked a little bit earlier about, in the announcements, about discipleship and how he took Saul when nobody else would have him, when nobody else believed he really had gotten saved, and he began to minister to him, and he began to present him to the church as a true convert. And the church in Jerusalem finally embraced Paul and finally embraced Barnabas. So they were first members in the church in Jerusalem. Now we see they're members in the church at Antioch. They're members in the church at Antioch. And there are times when people switch their membership. There are times where God leads a person by the Holy Spirit to go from one church to another. And, of course, there had been a great, great revival in Antioch, and Barnabas and Saul didn't just leave there on their own. The church sent them up there to see what was going on, the church at Jerusalem, and then it was determined that it would be best if they stayed there and helped minister in that infant church in Antioch and helped build it up in the faith. And so don't think Barnabas and Saul were church hoppers. They weren't church hoppers. The church at Jerusalem had heard about that great revival 70 miles to the north, and so they went to check it out. And it was determined that it would be best for that church if Barnabas went and helped them there. And so he became what's called here in verse 1 a prophet and a teacher in the church at Antioch. And there were some others. Simeon, that was called Niger. We presume this was a black man. That's what the word Niger means. Lucius of Cyrene. That was a country in Africa, probably a black man also, although there were Jewish exiles that settled in Cyrene. Manaen, which was brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, so here's a man that is probably a Roman, This, I think, refers to him being a foster brother. We don't know. And then, of course, Saul, who was a Jew. We know Barnabas was a Jew. Saul was a Jew. Lucius and Manaen, Simeon, and Manaen and probably Lucius were Gentiles. And like the Lord's church that he started at Jerusalem, where he pulled all kinds of men, although they were all Jews, he pulled all kinds of men from different kind of backgrounds and told them, work together. There's a cause greater than you, and there's a cause greater than yours, and just learn to work together. So he does in every church. We have all kinds of people in our churches that come from different backgrounds. Some are Democrats, some are Republicans, some are liberals, some are conservatives. All kinds of ethnic backgrounds, skin colors, and countries. The Lord just kind of throws you together and says, look, there's a cause that's more important than you, and even your nationalism or your patriotism, and that's the cause of Christ. And he expects men, he expects them to work together. So here's five men that really worked together, and you were used by God to build a great, great church in Antioch. So they were members, they were ministers. It says they were prophets and teachers, certain prophets and teachers. So that church had five men that they could call upon to be preachers and teachers of the Word of God. They were members, they were ministers, and then they were ministering. By way of introduction here in verse number 2, and it says, as they ministered to the Lord. That's the direction of our ministry. It's to the Lord. We're not here to build our own kingdoms. We're not here to be place seekers, to try to advance ourselves. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And we see by this story that some go and some stay. I want you to notice, if you've never done this, circle the word me and the word I in verse 2, because it shows us again the personality and the person of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is a person. He's not just some divine force. Separate me. The Holy Spirit is speaking about himself, and he addresses himself as me. Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And so we see the Holy Spirit guiding the affairs of the local church, including the personnel of the local church. It says, and when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they, the church, sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed and then began to plant churches at Seleucia. What about Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod, the Tetrarch? They stayed. They stayed in the church at Antioch. And Barnabas and Saul left the church that was at Antioch to do the Lord's work. Some go from a local church. Some stay in a local church. But all the time it has to be by the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Nobody should leave the church because they think they'd like to go here or there or to this church or to this Bible college or something. This has to be something that is a product of prayer and fasting and the leadership of the Holy Ghost. If you have not fasted about a direction in your life and consulted the Holy Ghost and prayed about that, by all means, don't do it. Do not do it. I can't think of anything major in my life that I have ever done or decided on without fasting first. Some of you considering Bible college, don't go. If there hasn't been a season where you've prayed and fasted and really, really sought the mind of God on that, do not go. But if you have, and the Holy Spirit has shown you this matter, then you can go as being sent forth by the Holy Ghost. And I think in those cases where it's really a work and a movement of the Holy Ghost, the church sends them away with a blessing. As it says in verse 3, and they laid their hands on them, they sent them away. All right. This has been quite a church, quite a year for our church, and we thank the Lord for it. And we've had some real, real highs this year and some real, real lows this year. And I was just thinking about the church. We talked about the church this morning and being in love with the church, in love with the church building. That is the home where the household of faith gathers often, and loving each other with a fervent love. God's been good to us this year. Many good things, many good blessings have come along this year. I was listing some of them here just to rejoice over. We had our 25th anniversary. That was a big day. We had almost 400 people in church. I remember 12 souls got saved that day, and that was a precious time. Our children went to camp in Butler, Pennsylvania, came back, made some wonderful, wonderful decisions. And we feel as though God was even calling some of them at a young age to go off to some kind of service someday in the Lord's work. Teen camp was tremendous. We all the camps down in Butler, Pennsylvania were so big that instead of four camps this year, they're thinking about having five next year just for all the personnel. Close to 900, not quite, but close to 900 different people went to camp this year from different churches. Many went from ours. We had a great daily vacation Bible school this year. What a wonderful time. We lengthened it out to 5 days. 21 children that we know of accepted the Lord as their Savior, and one man that came to see what was going on. The Dunkirk Fair was one of the best years we ever had out there. I've never kept records. We received 172 decision cards at the Dunkirk Fair in just 7 days. That was great. Erie County Fair, that's tough going, tough plowing out there, but many of you were faithful. The Lord gave us 181 cards at the end of the 12 and a half days. And you add those up, and we have 353 decision cards filled out from people who said that they had prayed and received Christ and believed on the Lord and trusted in Him as their Savior. Of course, a lot of other highlights, the men's breakfast that we've been having this year just keep growing and growing without much promotion. Mostly our men. We had between 50 and 60 men there yesterday for the men's breakfast. There was a good spirit there among those men coming. I've enjoyed the men's meeting this year and having the men teach. We've given them lessons to teach and sat back, and the room's filled up, it seems, every week up there of men wanting to hear the Word of God as well as support them. We've been having men speak who've never spoke before that. I've kind of put them on the spot and said, here, you're going to teach this, whether they're teachers or not. I wanted to give them an opportunity to see what it was like to teach and to preach the Word of the Lord. Brother Dave spoke tonight. Brother Dave raised in there and spoke on James the Less. Did a good job, and it was a good experience for him and for us to get to know Dave a little bit better. And, of course, we've had the Philippines trip that we'll hear more about in the near future. And just precious souls. Somebody gave testimony tonight of having a little Bible study with a bunch of kids, and about 10 of them accepting the Lord. And I know dozens and dozens and dozens of others came to know the Lord. Pastors were encouraged. Nationals were encouraged. They saw Bible colleges that were supporting. They saw orphanages that were supporting. And they saw the mission field, and their hearts will never be the same. My eye affecteth my heart. Jeremiah said they'll never be the same for as long as they lived after what they saw there in the Philippines. And many of them have a heart for that country now, and they see where our faith promise missions giving dollars go every week. As we give, and you fill out your little envelope there, a check, and you put so much to faith promise missions, some of you have seen with your own eyes where that investment goes. And what they're doing with it. And they've visited some of the national churches over there we support, and the pastors, and some we don't support, but they've seen that, and we pray for these people, and they just see the soul winners going out. And brethren, if I'm reading Philippians 4 right, those of you that are giving to missions, this is fruit to your account. That's what the Bible says. When you support missions with your money, that's fruit to your account. by the work and the souls that are being saved over there. If I have the facts right, we raise the money, we help people get over there, and you help people by your giving, and also the giving was blessed so that we were able to leave at each one of those churches, from what I understand, about $1,000 for each one of those churches to use. Now, $1,000 to them is like somebody handing us $10,000 here. And they were so thrilled about that generosity and that hospitality that some of them can go out now and help with buildings and doors and windows or whatever they need, or use it for evangelism or housing or clothes or food. And what a blessing, what a highlight. We got some other things coming up. We're taking a little bit of a new direction here on Wednesday night with the kids' clubs, a new curriculum. It'll still be the same time and everything, and we're going to try and use the Patch the Pirate curriculum, which as we've been praying about that and looking it over, I've been looking it over, and it looks like something that the kids are going to be able to take home with them and do daily devotions, and every month a different subject is focused on. It doesn't bounce all over the place. One month they take the whole month and deal with one particular subject, and they're studying it every day, and they're memorizing verses about it, and they'll also be learning some music on Wednesday nights, which is a great thing for kids to learn the value of music. Man, I'll tell you what, if those of you that don't know how anything about music, I feel as bad for you as you feel for me, because I don't know how to use a computer. And music is just a wonderful, wonderful blessing when it comes into your life, and you know how to sing, and you know how to play an instrument, and you know how to read music and conduct music and so on. And wasn't that a great song? There's Joy in Serving Jesus by Pastor Oswald Smith, one of the greatest Canadian pastors that there ever was, right over the border here in Toronto, the People's Baptist Church. There is joy in serving Jesus. And so we've got this coming up on the 17th of September, about a week and a half away. And we're thinking about running the bus into North Collins, maybe getting some of the community kids in and having them come under the sound of the teaching of the Word of God and the influence of these good adults that some of them have worked Wednesday nights for so many years. I mentioned the Team Tri-State coming up. That's always a great time. On the 19th of September, the Ladies Tri-State on October the 18th, and then we're going to have the Thanksgiving or the Missions Conference same week in October. That's always a fantastic, that's one of the most exciting weeks to me, at least, of the whole year, is just to have all these visiting missionaries. And to me, they're like giants, all of them. I don't care if they only last one term or they last a lifetime. I thank God for anybody willing to go to the mission field, and all the wives that are willing to go, and all the price some of those ladies pay. My, oh my, we read about the price some of those ladies pay for Jesus Christ and what it does sometimes to their minds and their emotions and so on. And some of those out there just sick with diseases they've contracted from the countries that they live in, and yet they just keep going and keep going for God, and they live under mosquito nets at night and among poisonous snakes and animals and people who sometimes hate them, and all kinds of curses from just witch doctors and all you wouldn't believe. I hope you read these mission letters. Some of you are familiar with that and some of the things that they all endure. And these are heroes, and we got some new ones coming. And we got Brother Richard Rawls coming to lead the Faith Promise Missions Giving Conference. And he's a real veteran of missions. And boy, he carries a very, very heavy burden on himself and with his daughter. And some of those people, though, they're the closest ones you'll ever meet to God, as those who've carried the burden for the longest time. And they've seen things about the Lord. It's going to be great. After that, of course, is the Thanksgiving season and the Christmas season coming up, and trying to plant the chapel over there in Evans, maybe in November. About 3 weeks from today is our Roundup Sunday, and they're going to try to do something special. Maybe, I don't know, we don't have any place to feed anyone because we turn the field into mud. We can't really put any tents up there this year, and the building's closed down here and foreclosed. We can't find out who the owner is, but we're going to do something. Feed some people something, some pizza or something. Pizza and wings or something, I don't know. But we want to try to have about 300 people in church that day. It's 3 weeks away, and I'll be telling you more about that in the very near future. A lot of things, great things this year. The Aaron and Hur ministry, these men praying. Wow, what a blessing. These men praying all the time. And not only is it helpful to me and the ministries, but it's helpful to them because it teaches them to pray for a long season. And we need to do that. We need to be able to learn. We want to encourage other men to get involved in the Aaron and Hur ministry. And just that alone, just, I hate to put it this way, but sometimes just practice makes perfect, even when it comes to prayer. You really learn how to pray when you practice, and you have to pray for some time about something. Been a lot of great things this year, but there's been also a lot of difficult things this year. Disappointing things, heart-wrenching things, gut-wrenching things, and some things that have happened. Of course, the bus broke down recently. We got to get that fixed. We had a baptistry accident where a hose broke that no fault of anybody, just broke while nobody was here. And 500 gallons of water went through the ceiling a couple weeks ago down into the basement and destroyed the carpet in a lot of the rooms. And so we got to fix the carpet, and we got to stain block the ceiling, paint that all up, get some tile down and everything. And Brother Ty is going to be working on that. And pray for him. Help him if you can, if you know what you're doing. Got to do some bulwark, moving some furniture around. Had some electrical problems that kind of puzzled us for a while. Bob and Frank fixed that. That was great. The air conditioner decided to leak and wrecked our ceiling up above us here. You notice that? And that's all going to have to be stain blocked and painted, and some alterations made on the air conditioning. And we've had some things going on. We've had a real summer slump this year when it comes to attendance. It's, like I said, it picked up this morning, but boy, things sure went down. This summer, baptisms have been down, and we've had casualties and dropouts this summer of children and teens and adults down. Some of them unconscious spiritually on the battlefield. They didn't make it through the summer. The world got them, the flesh got them, the devil got them, sin got them. And my heart's just been ripped out of me, because just a few men I know that were just red hot on fire at the beginning of this summer have already cooled off, and fallen out, and they're back in the world. And we just don't understand how that happens. Others, they've had a spirit of lethargy just fall over them. Nothing seems to stir them anymore. And they just can't get stirred up about church or loving the Lord or loving souls. And the visitation program needs help. We've been trying, but that thing has just been kind of up and down and going back and forth. So we've had good and bad this year, and I suppose it's like that every single year. It's like that every year in every church. It depends on what you want to focus on. I'm a cups half full type of guy. I don't know about you. I just like to focus on those good things, those great things God's doing, and the other things, just fix them and try to get them working and try to get them going again and try to get people revived, keep after them, make phone calls and send out postcards, go by, give them personal visits, have them over to your house for dinner, try to do something. I know all of you got somebody on your heart you're concerned about. They're standing before the Lord today. And I hope God will mobilize you to do something for them. Because this is really a time when we can, summertime, or fall rather, September, October, November, even in December, where traditionally we see some reviving. Traditionally we see some reviving in people at this season. So let's use it. Let's use it and let's get after some people. Of course, the world's getting worse and worse, isn't it? It's just getting worse and worse. The Bible says so. But it also says that the believers can still stand strong. In the last days, I preached on that last Sunday night when we went through the seven major prophecies of the New Testament and the instructions to believers in each one of those prophecies, never to give up, continue in the things that you've learned. All kinds of distractions, especially for the children. I can't believe how many sports there are nowadays on Sundays, and dancing and ballet lessons and cheerleading and so on and so forth. Satan is fighting in America for the soul of every child. And we have to ask ourselves, are we? Are we? I want to encourage all of you that teach a Sunday school class, a children's church, you have a bus route, you work in kids' clubs, whatever you do with children, I want to encourage you to do your best. Make every week your best. Be prepared up, be prayed up, be powered up, so that when they come under your influence, God works through you mightily and influences those kids. And when these kids come in from the neighborhood, like we saw this morning, a few of them, for the first time ever, they were in this church. Thank God they responded to the gospel, received the Lord. One of the young ladies that came a few weeks ago and came to know the Lord as her Savior, but now she's been placed to live somewhere else. And we don't know if we'll ever see her again, but we thank God she came to know Christ as her Savior. And thank the Lord there was a sensitive lady here who came with a soul-winning spirit that day and took her aside and shared the gospel with her, led her to Christ. Amen? If a person's not prayed up and powered up and prepared up, they may just have a casual attitude that one time in their children's ministry, and somebody might slip in and slip out towards eternity and never come back again. We've got to be ready. Because sometimes things like vacation Bible school and some, we've learned so many times, even the bus ministry, you get one chance sometimes. One chance to reach some of these children and guests with the gospel. That's all you get. And so I want to encourage you to really take very, very seriously. Simeon, Lucius, and Manaea, and they stayed in the church in Antioch. But others were called to go, like Barnabas and Saul. This after ministering and after fasting and after prayer and after the leadership of the Holy Ghost, that's when you go on to another church, or that's when you go on to another ministry. And off they went in verse 3. God does that sometimes. He takes sometimes the very best people out of a church so he can further the gospel somewhere else. We can't keep them all. It seems like our church has many, many times over the years just been a transitional point where some people have come in and gotten saved. Other people have already come in here who were already saved. And the Lord used our church for a while to build them up on the faith and then sent them forth. And so it seems like this is the Holy Ghost's leadership in churches, and sometimes it's common. As you know, I talked with Irene quite a bit over the years and prayed for her and fasted about this thing, and we just felt it was the Holy Spirit's leadership for her to go on to another church where we hope a door will open soon that she'll be able to work in a very large ministry among the Spanish. And others, there's others of you here that I just want to say this publicly about you, just so we can be biblical, and these people that I'm going to mention here, we want to be praying for them. We want to be fasting for them. We want to pray for the Holy Spirit's guidance and leadership in their life. That if the Holy Spirit says, separate me, and then name some people from our church for a particular work or ministry or preparation, that would be done. I hate to see anyone leave here, but sometimes that happens. Now, first of all, I want to encourage you to be praying for Brother Jim and Gina Olson, and as they are seeking the will of the Lord. We've been just blessed, of course, by Gina's membership here so many years and Jim's conversion. I know what he got, and he got it all. Amen? And it's just been wonderful to see him grow in the Lord and his great, great burden for souls. They believe that God has definitely shown them that it is his will that they attach themselves to the Amazing Grace missions ministry here in the United States of America. And those of you that have seen Jim know that that would make sense. And Jim and Gina just want to use his retirement years and his disability years and any support they can get to go out there And whether this is exactly what happens or not, we don't know. It seems like God is opening that door for them to work as missionaries in our county and state fairs, out in the marketplaces. It says in the book of Acts, marketplace evangelism. Marketplace evangelism. And so pray for them as they need to have some wisdom. Fast for them about this, that they'd be sure this is the Holy Ghost leading in their life. And trying to sell their house, their desire is to buy a camper. Boy, you ought to be able to find one of them nowadays. I'll tell you what, with the gas prices and everything, and maybe the good Lord will drop one in their laps, and they want to be just like the Enriquez. Remember them out here parked with their camper, and they just go from church to church, anywhere they can park the thing, to go to work with some local churches and fairs and county fairs and so on, winning souls to the Lord. Well, we'd hate to see them go, wouldn't we? But, boy, we'd just know. I think we'd have some confidence that they weren't wasting their time, but they'd be out there winning people to the Lord. Amen? Pray for them. Pray for Josh. He's mentioned he's gone through 3 years of Bible college. He's still got a year to go, if it be God's will. He's thinking about going back in January. Sister Lisa Broughton's been thinking about some of these things in her life, and she really, really feels at this time a calling by the Lord to the mission field, some sort, someplace, somewhere. Amen? God calls ladies to missions. We've met some wonderful ladies that have come through here. And so she may be leaving us also for preparation in January. I was talking to Sam Hazlett this morning. He wants me to pray. He wants you to pray about God's leadership in his life and perhaps going to Bible college. And Sam loved his 2 weeks over there in the Philippines. And he has a real burden for missions. It seemed to help him a lot while he was over there. I told him not to confuse a burden with a calling. Sometimes there are different things. I get a burden for every one of these countries I see up here when we drop the screen and they show that all the precious souls and the people that need to be saved and what's going on. But that burden's not a calling. I would leave the will of God if I just took off following a burden and left this church and being a pastor here. Just like some of you could leave the will of God if you just follow a burden rather than a calling. All of us ought to have a burden. But a calling, there's no doubt about it. Separate me, Paul and Barnabas, for the work that I have sent them to. The Holy Ghost gives a direct and definite calling. And there's no doubt. If in doubt, don't. Don't do a thing if in doubt. Stay put until God gives you clear direction on that. Don't just do it because everybody else is doing it. And so we need to be praying for Brother Sam. As I expected, the good Lord really worked in Chris Barron's heart while he was in the Philippines, and we've talked to him and I a little bit. We're going to talk more, pray more, and he just he's probably going to end up back there. Let's just put it that way. And if I was the Lord, it seems that would only make sense. And he's already got an open door, a mission family, the Travises over there that would love to have him come live with them. Mr. Brother Travis and his wife, little kids, and they could take him under their wing, and he could get some hands-on training. He's already finished Bible college. He could get some hands-on training right there in the Philippines and then go off someday to another town where there's no church and start one. And, boy, we'd hate to see Chris leave around here too, wouldn't we? Some of these names that I've given you are some of the finest people in our church. They really are. They're the finest people in our church. They love the Lord, and it's obvious. They love souls, and it's obvious. They're workers. They're ministers. Everyone I mentioned is just busy in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not sitting around waiting for a call. They're serving God where they're planted right now. And those are the kind of people God looks down and says, you know, that person's serving, that man's serving, that woman's serving, and they've been faithful there. I think I have a calling for them. I think I have somewhere I can move them to where they'll even be more fruitful. This is how God works. As they ministered unto the Lord, the Holy Spirit said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul. If you're the type that's just sitting around waiting for a call, you're going to wait a long time. You just get busy doing what God wants you to do, where God wants you to do it, whether you like it or not, whether it seems big or small, you just get busy doing it faithfully. And God will see you. And if He's going to move you, some go, some stay. Some go, some stay. Matthew 13:3, a sower went forth. Matthew 14:14, Jesus went forth. Mark 16:20, and they went forth and preached everywhere. 3 John 1:7, because that for His name's sake, they went forth. Some people go forth. Some people stay put. But it must be the leadership of the Holy Spirit after faithful ministry, after prayer, after fasting, and with the approval of the local church. With the approval of the local church, it says, and they laid their hands on them, they sent them away. They sent them away. I think there was probably some tears in that church, don't you? I think there was probably some broken hearts in that church. I think there was probably some people that said, what are we going to do without Barnabas and Saul around here? They were the ones that came when we had the revival and we were all young and babes in the Lord, and they were the ones that discipled us, and they were the ones that left their church in Jerusalem, that great church, and came to our church to help us. What are we going to do without them? Do you ever feel that way when some people leave? I do. But the will of the Lord be done. The will of the Lord be done. It seems like whenever people have left, God's raised up other people to become laborers and servants in their place and to fill in. That's all our church does, is train some people and sends them out and train some more and sends them out and train some more and sends them out. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We ought to feel honored by that. We ought to feel honored by that. But don't just go because that's what young people do, or that's what you heard about. Brother Dean Runyon, when he was here, was telling me the story about his church growing up back home. Church about 100 people in it. And he says all the teens went to a youth conference in Hammond, Indiana. And guess what they all got called to do that fall, that summer? At the youth conference, they all got called to leave their church and to go to Hammond, Indiana for Bible college in 1973. No, they didn't. Many of them fizzled out, he said. Many of them fell. Many of them fell hard. Never walked with the Lord again. And the local church was devastated because all the good workers left and the pastor couldn't fill the positions and the buses with anybody. And it was catastrophic, he said, to the lives of those who went to Bible college outside of God's will. It was catastrophic to the local church where all the good workers left and were not able to continue on the work of the Lord, and that church ended up closing up. And Brother Dean Runyon said that wasn't God's will. That wasn't God's will. You have to be careful that you're not making an emotional decision when following the Lord's leadership, that you're making a spiritual one. And the Holy Ghost said, there's sadly, and I'm not saying that college or anything like that, but there's been a lot of manipulation of young people in this world about going to Bible colleges and so on and so forth. And going to any college. I mean, we just see 18-year-olds by the hordes going off to college. And for what? And for what? Getting into debt, spending all kinds of money, learning all kinds of heathen doctrine in these secular universities and colleges and so on. And we've seen a lot go off to Bible colleges for wrong reasons, to find a husband, to find a wife, and because some parents hope that Bible college would serve as some kind of a reclamation ranch where their lousy kid could go and get straightened out and recover. And so a bunch of lousy kids ended up in that Bible college, spoiling the spirit of the college. And there's a lot of things about Bible colleges in this country I don't like. But there's some other things that are good, and that's when God calls somebody to go and train there. If not, just stay in your local church and be trained. I trained myself. I just got the book out and got some notebooks out and started studying and studying and studying and studying. I haven't been in a Bible college for a day. Some use correspondence courses. We're going to be starting Bible Institute here soon, and we're going to be using like the Sunday school hour and maybe the men's meeting and ladies' meeting hour for some, and maybe some courses will be taught in a Wednesday night format, and those that want to pay for them can get credits and so on and get the books and so on. The others can just glean from the courses that are taught, and we want to keep some people here and give them some organized study for that. And we're going to need some people to stay around here, especially if we're going to be planting churches. We want to plant some churches along the lake. We've got to have some good people who will take 5 or 10 years to train to do that here and be thorough. Not just run off to Bible college thinking they're missing it or they're getting behind. God's preparation in most cases is a very, very slow process. God is not in any hurry to run men and women through the mill and get them out on the mission field or in the ministry. God wants people that he's worked over thoroughly and throughly to be prepared unto every good work and fit for the master's use. And for some of you, that just means being faithful to your church, being faithful employee, being the best worker you can, learning how to budget money, learning how to have a marriage, learning how to raise children, all these things that will benefit your ministry in the future. We're certainly going to try to organize visitation and soul winning more around here. We've had some good things happen, but I really believe order will bring much more fruit to those ministries. We've got to plant some churches. Gowanda needs a church. Evans, this thing that we're trying on Thursday nights, it's turned out to be a lot harder work than I thought it was going to be, but we're going to just keep plugging on and going forward. And maybe 2, 3, 4 years from now, we're going to need a man to pastor that church. I'll do it for a while. We should be honored when God calls someone from our church to go and prepare or to serve full time somewhere else. But the important thing is it's got to be God who calls. It's got to be God who calls. That's the example of the Bible. Some go, some stay. Some go, some stay. Be sure, be praying, be fasting for these that I've mentioned and others, because we always pray around here, at least I hope you do, the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And thank God when he does. All right, let's pray. We're going to have some prayer now before we have the Lord's Supper.